Hey, what's going on, everybody? You listen to Seggy Station. It's a man that has a nickname always allowed to say with no shame. Finally back, Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Hope all's well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Good to be back. Got a ton to get to in the world of sports today. Definitely been getting the topic list very jam full with everything I got to talk about. Not as much time as I'd like today. Had a golf tournament yesterday, so my other day off. Did not get into pod. Had a day off on Saturday, but Sunday was Mother's Day, and as y'all know, that's a tough time for me. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, all the friends and supporters with moms of the podcast. Much love from me to them, but this weekend was definitely tough. Obviously, a lot going on in the world of sports, and I'm looking forward to touching up on some of these topics, getting some of my things out there. I got the call into KJZ this morning. Rich is stopping by to talk about plenty of NBA action before he's got to get out of here for the rest of the day for work. And with just a week, the last week of the NBA season, obviously the play-in tournament just on the heels of that, and the NBA playoffs starting up, definitely a fire time for Rich and I. Obviously, NFL draft is concluded. Haven't been able to touch on that very much. And you got a horse on steroids, MLB topics out the yin-yang, and big-time brawls in the NHL. Obviously, plenty to cover in sports. Looking forward to touching on some of that today. Good to be back. Appreciate all of the support for the podcast. As always, check me out on my Instagram or Twitter page, at Seggy Station. Also got a live version up of the podcast on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Can always check me out and follow along there. And also still got the podcast up on Spotify, Podbeam, and a few other platforms. So I'm hoping you get your podcast there. Right now it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Good to be back today. So much going on in the world of sports. Obviously, more people getting vaccinated, a higher clip, almost 35%. As I mentioned before on my podcast, I think it is a individual basis type thing. We'll see how things go here over the next few months as more things start opening up. But obviously shots have become available to just about anyone that wants one, and less infections, it seems to be, all around the country, even as things are opening up. So got to be a decent sign. But obviously after that stole the conversation for basically a whole year, not only in the sports world, but just in everybody's life and personal well-being when it comes to everything. It's crazy to see where we're at now. Still got guys going 10 to 14 days in health and safety protocols in the NBA with Miles Bridges, Dennis Schroeder. You got Caleb Farley missing the NFL draft because of it. Steve Clifford, head coach, testing positive, getting cleared to return this past Wednesday. Obviously, the whole back-to-normal thing is something that everyone's trying to get to, but I think the main question is, where do we go from here? And obviously, there's a lot to get to in sports today. Obviously, a lot to get to as I haven't been covering much, and I'm pretty much rambling, but I'm fired to be back, fired up to be back, and always appreciate the support. Start up the recording, Rich. And Rich, I just need to ask you real quick. Good to have you back, bro. I feel like I haven't talked to you in months. I feel like I don't even know how to do this because I haven't been doing as much potting, but I'm fired up to do it because I have so much to talk about, and I don't know how much we'll be able to get in, but I'll try and get as much as I can. Before we get into the NBA, Tim Tebow, one-year deal with the Jaguars. It's pretty much rocking the sports airwaves today. I got the call into KJ and Z, got through, which was pretty fire. I had pretty much asked Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Will, basically because Keyshawn's popping off about Tim Tebow getting an opportunity, and Jay Williams is like, dude, this is the America we live in, bro. If you know somebody, or if you know anybody, not just in sports, I mean, you're going to get a fair leg up based on who you know, whether there's more qualified people or not. I do not think Tim Tebow should have a shot to play in the NFL. I was upset when he was playing in the MLB and taking a roster spot away from the Mets, and I'm on record here on the podcast yelling at Shoe about it. But I'll say this about Tim Tebow. It's not his fault. It's Urban Meyer's fault. And he's made a lot of messed up decisions. But I called Keyshawn Johnson to ask him this because he's, oh man, he's taken away an opportunity, a roster spot. Is that not what DK Metcalf did running in the Olympic trials? And here's my thing. He did great, and he's fast, but he's a football player. There's not people that are training their entire lives to have the opportunity to do that. You don't think they could potentially finish ninth, if not better than ninth, like he did in his heat, which I believe is last? He's taken away an opportunity, well, just based on his fame, and we see it all the time, bro. That's my point. It's not fair. Like, I see it in my own golf business, where plenty of people based on who you know are potentially going to get a job over you, whether they're more qualified or not than me, because they know that person. To me, that's not fair, but that's life. That's just, you're going to see that in sports and all business. I'm just curious of what you think about this Tebow thing, because this is interesting. You got a ton of people reacting to this. And of course, he's going to the Jaguars with Urban Meyer, the connections there. I know you're my NBA guy, but I just need to know what you feel about this.
So it's kind of tough. I agree with you just that that's how life works. It's like, it's not fair, but if we sit here complaining about everything in life that's not fair, you're going to be complaining all day. So my take is kind of like, yeah, like, should it probably go to a young guy who could develop and be a better piece? Probably. But am I surprised that his college coach brought him in? And like, just look at a few things here. Again, to be fair, maybe these things count, maybe these things matter, maybe they don't. Tim Tebow, incredible motivator, has experience as a quarterback, no matter what you want to say about it, and they have a young quarterback there. And we've seen guys like Taysom Hill be this gadget type of guy. People wanted Tim Tebow to play tight end years ago.
Hey,
I don't think it's insane. Like, as long as the goal of having him there isn't just to get the Jaguars talked about, it's like, damn, you're one of the 32 NFL teams.
Here's my thing. And I completely agree with you. There's a lot of people saying that. Oh, he could be a Taysom Hill. And then there's also a lot of people saying, like, well, they're just doing it to put butts in the seats. And because he's a type of dude that people know and follow and want to see how he does or if he does anything. And I totally get that. But here's my thing, Rich. He hasn't played in the league for over 6 years. 3,000 plus days. He's never played tight end in his life. Not even in college. You're telling me.
Is the contract guaranteed? I'm assuming it's not.
I don't know. I honestly need to look into it. I know it's a 1 year deal. He can get cut at any time, obviously.
Yeah.
But I know he's getting a 1 year deal. And I get it's only a 1 year deal. But I'd say this, there's plenty of dudes that deserve a 1 year deal opportunity that won't get one. Where Tim Tebow, he's been out of the league for 6 years, never played the position in his life, and is 33 years old. Like, there's plenty of guys that you can plug in there, undrafted free agents you're seeing. I mean, to me, it's just not right. And he did it in the MLB as well. He used his platform, his fame, to be having an opportunity that others won't have. And to me, I've always had a problem with that. Not only in sports, but in life. And like you said, I get it's not fair, and if you sit here and complain about it, you'll be complaining a lot about the things that are not fair. But when is there an opportunity for any of this to change, bro? Like, we're always trying to get change in the social justice movement and all the things going on with that and police reform. I'm totally with all that. Absolutely, bro. But when are we going to attack some of these other things that, to me, are virtually the same thing, right? Privilege. Those are privilege opportunities that the only way that this actually gets talked about again is obviously if Tim Tebow doesn't do anything. And, oh, is Urban Meyer, you know, doing shit he shouldn't do, when obviously before this he hired a guy that was, you know, sexually assaulting dudes and he had to fire him. It's like, what type of decisions is this dude allowed to make just because he's a head coach? I just see it so much in sports, and then you can just go to your local Dunkin' Donuts, bro, and there's probably that going on there as well. Like, it's everywhere. When are we trying to address that too?
My thing though is, let's say they don't get Tim Tebow and they sign whatever, some dude who went and undrafted some linebacker, whatever it is, some tight end. The dude probably gets cut and doesn't make the team, which in my opinion is what I'm guessing might happen with Tebow. So I kind of think it's a non-factor because I think we're kind of ending up in the same spot no matter who this guy is. Like, you're right. It would be nice to see someone get a chance who maybe could have more of a future and deserves a chance. I just do think it's getting a little blown out of hand in the sense that if this is Tim Tebow or anyone else, the chance of him playing meaningful minutes on a football field this year and being a real part of the team is like almost zero. And I don't think they did it just to put butts in the seats, because I think if you're the Jaguars, you're an NFL team, you're going to be selling tickets. And I don't think you want the main talking point of your team to be like a guy who's not even playing. I don't think that's a good look.
Yeah, I hear you. I just had to get that in. We'll get into the NBA now. I'm starting the timer.
Let's get it.
Of course, I want to touch on Russell Westbrook, but we'll touch on that after this topic because he needs to be talked about here for a second. I wish I got a shout-out in on the back end this morning. I just literally wanted to yell, shout-out Brody, before they hung up the phone, but whatever. I didn't get it in. Here's the thing, brother. You talked about the Lakers falling to the play-in. I talked about this going before you even said it when James went down, and he missed 6 weeks, and then he missed, came back for 2 games. Now he missed 4 games. There's talks of him coming back tonight. Here's the thing. He's missed a ton of games. And the Lakers fell because of it, something I could have predicted. I didn't think it was the play-in. You came on the record and said, hey, man, the Lakers might fall into the play-in. They're pretty much guaranteed to play in the play-in here. You're talking 25 to 28% chance, I think it is, after now losing the tiebreaker with the Mavs and the Blazers, that they'll be in the play-in. And they're matched up after another victory last night to play the Warriors in a one-on-one game to get the 7 seed. That's scary if you're a Lakers fan. And also sets up a really crazy feel when we all know what Steph Curry did when he was part of March Madness, type of March Madness feel in the NBA, where you just got to get hot one game. He goes for 70, who knows, and they just beat the Lakers and they get the 7 seed. It could very well happen. It's that type of intrigue that I'm in for now. Can the Lakers get out of the play-in? Where are they going to be playing if they get the 7 seed? Jazz or Suns? There's tons of stuff to look at here now that they've fallen that far. Also the fact that there's 6 other pretty decent teams ahead of them that, hey, we can see pretty much anything happen, I think, in this year's playoffs, including the play-in, including once they get going. All things being equal, with you talking about injuries, and I saw Jaylen Brown going down for the rest of the year yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's like anything can happen any day. Just curious on your worry meter on the Lakers.
I mean, so there's two sides to this. You could play one side of like, wow, you don't want to be figuring things out, getting your team back together, going against the one seed, having to get like a one game win against the Warriors, which is true. The other side to this is like, no matter who you, and I'd imagine this is how like LeBron would position it in the locker room and how they think about it. It's like, if you're going to win the championship, which is their goal, you have to beat every team you play either way. It doesn't matter when you play them, you're going to have to go through the teams that keep winning. So I don't think LeBron and the Lakers internally probably too worried about going up against the Lakers in the play, or the Warriors in the playing game. Because even if they lose to the Warriors, say the 7-8 seed or the Lakers Warriors, which is what it is right now and what it's looking like it'll be.
Yep.
Even if they lose to the Warriors, then they have to play the winner of what's probably going to be Grizzly Spurs.
Yeah.
And that would get them to the 8.
Which, by the way, I was wrong about the Spurs falling out, because they, I think, would have fell out if Zion didn't go down. He lost an injury and Brandon Ingram hasn't been playing, and they're still only a game and a half back. So if they didn't go down, I think the Spurs would fall out. I think the Pelicans would be in that spot. Grizzlies clinch a play-in, and that's also interesting going back to the conversations we've had, Zion, Ja. And I also have some conversations to have with you about John Wall, Russell Westbrook. We talked about this here on the pod, obviously, the trade, and I do want to get in that. But just staying with the Lakers here real quick, it's wild to me, because I think for the first time ever, I'm worried about what the Lakers are going to be strictly because of what LeBron James is going to be. I've never once, heading into a playoffs, heading into watching NBA since I've gone back, been like, oh man, I don't know if LeBron's going to be 100%. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it all the way through. Not strictly because of his high ankle, strictly because of quotes from him, strictly because of things he's been saying. I don't know if I'll ever be 100% again. And just thinking about that, 18 years in the league, obviously he ain't going to be there forever. Obviously, I talk about Tom Brady needing to go. So these guys will be out of here at some point. And it's just wild to think LeBron James ain't going to be around for much longer. You got to be able to appreciate this greatness as you're able to see it. The man has missed almost 30 games this year. It'll be interesting to see if they can piece it together, where they're slated, obviously, playing or not. It'll be interesting, and obviously, last week of the NBA season, this week, the NBA season concludes this Sunday, Rich. So it's your last week to get in your DraftKings before the play-in, before the playoffs. It's fire. Go ahead. If you got it.
I think the Lakers, I mean, obviously an early prediction, but assuming LeBron's supposed to return tonight against the Knicks.
Yeah, I saw that.
Assuming LeBron looks somewhat healthy and is moving on defense.
Yep.
LeBron had a rough year on defense his first year on the Lakers.
Here's the thing.
Since Anthony Davis,
I just need to ask, because Anthony Davis, hold on, we talked about Anthony Davis here. Go ahead. I just need to ask you. I'm sorry. I had to cut you off. But I wanted to get this in about the Lakers, because Anthony Davis obviously has been a question mark, obviously with injury and then coming back and not looking great. I mean, like, his minus 56 in his first 5 games coming back off injury is just, like, atrocious. He goes for 42-12, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks in a win up against the Suns, obviously without LeBron James, Dennis Schroeder, health and safety protocols. So, like, if Anthony Davis is that, if LeBron James is able to be back, if you can get Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Kuzma and all these guys playing with Trez Harrell and Drummond, I mind you, they added. Like, is this still a team that can make a run? I would assume so. But obviously, it depends, in my opinion, on what LeBron James is going to be.
Yeah, you need LeBron to be healthy. If LeBron's healthy and is moving well on defense like he has been the start of this year and last year, I'd probably pick them to beat the Jazz or the Suns in the first round, but that's a big if because we haven't seen him healthy in 2 months now.
Yeah. I'm just curious if you think Anthony Davis is healthy, able to turn it around. Like, what's good?
He looked incredible against – who was it? He played well against the Blazers, but whatever game I was watching against the Suns when they got the win, that's a big win too.
All right, let's keep – yeah, that's one I was talking about, yep. But let's keep it moving. As I mentioned, I need to talk about Russ, but I still got one more topic to get in before that, and it's your Knicks, baby. I need some credit on this because you came on – I don't know. I think we did a pod where you're like, I don't know, man, their schedule's tough. I know we talked about it in the chat, and I'm sitting here, bro, I'm like, they're legit, bro. Like, I know their schedule's tough, but they only got to win a few games to stay where they're at. Dude, they have their first winning season since 2013. They're clearly above the play-in tournament. The Knicks are making the playoffs, man. There's analysts talking about them potentially winning a playoff series, obviously based on the matchup. And here's the thing, man. You got to give credit to the people that saw this coming because I don't think anybody saw this coming. You know the Knicks have the same record as the LA Lakers as of a day or two ago? I don't know where it stands now, but I know they won for the first time since 2010 at LA versus the Clippers this past weekend with a huge game from Julius Randle. And by the way, addition of Derrick Rose. And I know everyone's like, oh man, Derrick Rose, prime Derrick Rose, whatever. This dude, Derrick Rose, has definitely helped the Knicks. 21-8 since adding him. And his plus, I believe it is plus 206 in those 32 games is the highest on the team. This dude is impacting the game coming off the bench with guys like Quickly, your main guys being Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. And I'll tell you right now, man, I never thought I'd be able to say the Knicks were going to potentially win a playoff series heading into this season. I did think they had a chance to make the playoffs, and they're definitely going to do that. I deserve a little bit of credit for that. You hyped about the Knicks or what?
Yeah, I'm hyped. I would have, listen, I stand by calling anyone crazy who would have thought the Knicks would have been above a six seed going into this year because there's just nothing in their past that would have indicated that and nothing from what they did last year.
And let me just be clear that I didn't have them being this high. I had them in the playoffs, but not above a four seed.
You would have had to have been giving Tom Thibodeau a whole bunch of credit, basically, which he's turned him around a bunch this year. The Knicks right now are, and this is the craziest thing to me about the Knicks are, by defensive rating, the third best defense in the league behind the Lakers and the Sixers all year. And their best defensive player is Nerlens Noel. He's second in the league in blocks. Their next best.
Oh.
Not sure what happened.
You good? Yeah.
I was saying it's crazy. The Knicks are third in defensive rating this year, and their best defensive player is probably Nerlens Noel, and their next best defensive player is, like, I don't know. You tell me. Like, before going into the year, people would have said Elfrid Payton, but he's playing, like, 17 minutes a game. Like, it's not that. Like, they just play, like, incredible team defense. So I give Tom Thibodeau a whole bunch of credit for that. The Knicks are – my one concern with the Knicks is – the concern with any slow-paced defensive team in the playoffs is that a lot of people go to that style, and the Knicks are more equipped to that style. But what starts to matter more in the playoffs is when everyone's slowing the game down, when everyone's focusing on defense, can you get a bucket? And, like, the Knicks have been doing that. Like, I sent a stat the other day, RJ Barrett, the last month or so, shooting 48% first in the league for anyone who qualifies from three. Julius Randle can go out there and get a bucket. When the Clippers were doubling Julius Randle, Derrick Rose had a huge game. So they've been getting buckets. The question's just going to be, when you're a lower scoring team in the playoffs, when the team's locked down, can you still get those buckets? But I like their chances to beat the Hawks in the first round. Hawks got DeAndre Hunter back last night, which is pretty big for them. But I like the Knicks' chances against the Hawks in the first round if that's the matchup.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough series for me to pick. But I do think it'll be a great series. And I'm pumped to just see how the rest of this week in the NBA goes. Obviously, the play-in tournament and then obviously getting the playoffs started. I'm obviously pumped for the NBA playoff run. The run that Russell Westbrook is on right now, though, is incredible. You know I'm like the biggest Russ guy, but I don't even know what to say about this shit, man. Like I knew he was like a triple-double machine. I knew he might have had a chance to tie past Oscar. The fact that he tied past Oscar back-to-back games with just ridiculous stat lines, bro. Like, this dude is not doing it with 10 assists and 10 rebounds. He's doing it with 20 assists and 20 rebounds and scoring points. Yep. Also taking his fewest shots in his career in some of these games 8 shots in a game where you're putting up 20 points with 20 assists and 20 rebounds. This man is ridiculous, dude. He's averaging more rebounds right now than Giannis, than Joel Embiid, than Jokic. This dude is leading the league in assists and rebounding since the All-Star break. He has 36 triple-doubles this season, 14 in the month of April, Rich. I told you this the last time we were on the pod about Jalen Rose wanting to get mad triple-doubles, one in his career. To put some of this into context, he just passed Oscar Robertson, 181. He got most of his, the first 5 years of his career, did the Big O. Russell Westbrook has got an 80% of his in the last 5 years of his career. This man, Russell Westbrook, in his first 6 years of his career, had 8 triple-doubles. He now has 182. Put that into perspective, Rich. That is ridiculous. This man, no one appreciates this man because he's on a list right now with 4 other guys for being ridiculous with the triple-doubles. LeBron James only has 99. You know what all those other guys have in common? They've won a championship. Russell Westbrook has not. And that's the knock on this man. Oh, he doesn't have a championship. But I would argue this, bro. He had a great chance to do it with OKC. KD left. Their best chance was when KD was still there, obviously. He had a chance, obviously, to do something with James Harden. Didn't work out. And I'd argue right now, I'm not saying they're going to win the championship this year, but if they had one other player with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, that I think is the best backcourt right now in the NBA, if they were in the playoffs, I think he could very easily make a run. Not saying win a championship, but make a run. They might be able to do so with just him and Bradley Beal and some of the pieces around, strictly because of this man. And if they do so, it's only because of this man. And no one appreciates that. Like, oh, they have to win a championship? Just them being 17-32 on April 5th and now being in the 9th seed, that doesn't matter. The fact that he climbed all the way up and is doing this, obviously, winning games in the process, big time games in the process. I just don't get that. I think he's a top.
Yeah. I think what some people would argue is like, but that first part still matters too, where they weren't doing well. I mean, I'll give Russ the benefit of the doubt. Like, he was playing through like a, I forget what it even was, like fucked up quad or something like that. And he's looked incredible the last few games. So I don't like going to the triple doubles thing. But, I mean, I'll just start off with this because this is insane. In his last 14 games, he's had 13 triple-doubles. And the one he didn't have a triple-double, he put up 42, 10, and 9.
Yeah.
So it's like this dude's just absolutely going insane right now.
I just need to read this off for a second. You know his stats in the month of May already? 26.2 points, 16.4 assists, 15.8 rebounds. Like, That is ridiculous. Brad Beal's about to miss another game after missing another with a hamstring injury. They won the game the other night without him. They should have won a game last night, and Russ pulled up for 3, missed it. But he had – the only reason they were in that chance to even have a win in that game was because of him, because they were down mads, and he was climbing them. They were down 17 in the fourth, bro. Like you got to give him some credit for having a chance to win that game even though they lose. This man putting up – the only second 2020 game as a point guard? Like, dude, come on, bro.
In the 2016-2017 season when he averaged the triple-double, there was a game against the Nuggets, like maybe the last 2-3 games of the season, where he like secured the triple. I like remember watching this at my place in Black Rock, where he secured the triple-double and he won it, and he won the game as well. Like, secured averaging a triple-double on the season and won the game on like a 3-pointer at the buzzer. And there, you cannot tell me that's not exactly what was going through his mind last night as he took that shot. Because he pulled up for three. I'm not going to hate on him for it because it's been incredible and whatever. He's been having a good game. But it was also like, dude, you're down. You need a 2-pointer. That was it. And he's a statistically way better shooter when he steps in front of the 3-point line than he is when he steps behind it. So it was kind of like you had time to drive it in. But like, you can't tell me he wasn't thinking of that Nuggets game and trying to do the exact same thing again. But I give him credit. He's been incredible.
Let me just say a few things here, Rich. They did lose the game last night, 125-124. But the one prior in overtime up against the Pacers.
Sucks for the Knicks.
Up against.
Bad win for the Hawks for the Knicks.
Yeah, for sure. And they needed that. And the Wiz, they beat the Pacers to get up into that 9 seed over them, 133-132 in overtime. Like, they're doing this up against big time. Sabonis had 30-13-13 and Karras 35-14-8. I mean, bro, that's tough to do when you're combining for 83 points, him and Bradley Beal going for 50, trying to get the scoring title with Steph Curry going going for 49 in 29 minutes. Like, that's going to be tough to do when you're going up against the OKC Thunder that are just horrid right now. But just a few more, a couple of these stats on Russ, dude, because I've been saving some of these and I still got a minute until the bell goes off. First player in NBA history to record back-to-back games with 15-plus rebounds and 15-plus assists. You talked about that game, and I talked about a little bit the Pacers the other night. He had that game-winning block. Like, you see that block on Karis to win that game and hit the clutch free throws? I know he's shooting a career low, 64%. I know he can't shoot, right? He's making shots, bro. He's taking less shots. Didn't I tell you if he started taking less shots, he'd start putting up wild numbers? And he started doing that, and they started winning games. Bradley Beal being the man. Go out there and score 50. You just dime it off to him. They started winning more games. And I think the Wizards are legit. Going back to this thing where we talked about, whole thing, John Wall to the Rockets, Wizards get Russell Wilson, or Russell Westbrook. Clear win here for the Wizards, bro. Like, let's just be real. The Rockets are atrocious. I know John Wall's out now, but he was playing decent. But let's just be real. You're not doing anything with John Wall. You got Russell Westbrook. You got a chance to make the playoffs, regardless of what you got on the roster, because I'd argue besides Bradley Beal, you got nothing besides Rui Hachimura after Abdia, your first down pick, goes down, and Thomas Bryant with an ACL. They got nothing, bro, and they're still in the play-in. Rockets are sorry as hell.
I'll agree with you because there's value in putting forth a competitive product
that's good
at basketball and gets people's interest.
Yes.
But the argument for the other side would be neither team with this iteration is winning a championship with Russell Westbrook or John Wall in the Wizards or the Rockets, and the Rockets got back a first-round pick. So there's a way to look at it and be like, well, at least the Rockets got back something that, like, hey, it could be something. But when it's all said and done, that first-round pick probably ends up not being anything, and the Wizards are actually putting forward a good, respectable product, Russ having a great year. So I agree with you. I think you could be super cynical and argue the Rockets strictly off the pick, but I agree with you.
Dude, he's got in his last five games, he's averaging 16.4 rebounds and 18.8 assists with 23.4 points. He's got 82 rebounds and 94 assists in that span. There's the average pace in 1961 and 74, it was 107.8. Average pace since 2009 to 21 is 95.1. According to this stat, Oscar Robertson's team had 12.7 more possessions per game. That means more shots taken and missed, leading to assists and rebounds, obviously. Russ also broke Oscar's record with 100 fewer games played than Oscar Robertson. Like, this stuff is ridiculous, dude. You're not able to appreciate this because you're never going to see this again, bro. Like, who are we thinking? Luka Doncic, maybe? No shot. Like, he's the only one I could think. He's got 20 right now. Like, bro, you got to be on a tear because Russell Westbrook is not done, bro. He's going to have more than 200 career triple-doubles. Who is touching that? Nobody. I don't know. You had Jason Kidd. I saw some of this stuff, dude. It's ridiculous to put this into context, bro. I'm sorry I keep going up on this, but LeBron James only has 99 career triple-doubles, bro. Jason Kidd, 107 career triple-doubles. They did it in LeBron James. He's played 1,308 games. Russell Westbrook has 182 career triple-doubles in 940 career games played. Jason Kidd, 1,391 games played, 107 triple-doubles. 138 for Magic Johnson, 906 played. Oscar Robertson, 181. Like I mentioned, 100 games more played than Russell Westbrook at 1,040. It's insane, dude. It's absolutely insane. He's been doing this since he was with the Thunder, but as I mind you, it didn't take him. It took him 7 years to start getting on this tear in the NBA. You don't just get in and start. You got to have a longevity aspect to your career. You got to be able to appreciate he's doing this at, what, 31, 32 years old? It's incredible. He's all-NBA player. I know you want to get into it. I will get into it on the way out. He's an all-NBA player, no doubt, in this league. Go ahead.
There's no player in the league that'll touch that record right now, but I don't think it's impossible to touch. Like, every record seems impossible. Some of Wilt's definitely are, but every record seems impossible until we see someone new. There's an interview of Jason Kidd, like, in his early on in his career, saying, like, the Oscar Robertson one was untouchable and no one would ever get that. I don't think the players in the league right now that could get it. I think some people would argue, like, oh, Giannis or Luka, like, they're not touching that.
I don't think they're not.
The best bet would have been if Harden wasn't playing with Russ and Durant his first few years and didn't go to the Nets and just stayed playing D'Antoni ball. But, like, I don't think Harden's getting it either. So, like, there's I'm not going to say there can't be another high motor guy, and especially with the pace of game, pace of play getting faster and faster, that could get more assists, more rebounds, stuff like that. But I don't think he's in the league right now if the guy who's going
to
get it.
I did have a couple of things that I saw this past week that I needed to ask you. I saw a quote from a NBA GM basically saying that the numbers are all inflated this year. I saw Bogdan Bogdanovic, he went for 48. We saw Jason Tatum go for 60. You're seeing guys go for big-time numbers all around, and they're basically saying in the NBA that all these numbers are inflated everywhere. I'm just curious, is this impacting any of your thoughts on some of these teams heading into the postseason? Do you see some of the defense getting clamped up, some of these numbers going down? Like, is it because of the playing mad games during the week, condensed schedule? Are the numbers actually inflated? You got any insight for me here? What's good with any of this?
They are a little. I think it's largely to do with so much of the resting, which is largely to do with the schedule being so many condensed games this year. Because the guys you just named right there, Jason Tatum, pretty sure his huge game came without Kemba Walker or Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, largest comeback in Celtics history, by the way. Yep. Down like 32 points. He goes for 60. Like, that's crazy, bro.
Yep. Who is the other one that just had Kevin Porter Jr. comes with John
50.
Wall,
yep. Oli, youngest player to have one of the youngest players to have 50 joining LeBron. Yeah.
So a lot of these are coming with a lot of their teammates out of the lineup, which is just simple math. When you take away like the three highest usage guys on the team, the fourth guy is going to get a huge one. Bogdanovich the other day, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, not there.
But,
and then you take into account some of the teams these guys are playing. The Orlando Magic, I mean, I'll give them a little bit of credit. They're not resting guys. They just traded away every good player on their team. They're like a G League roster.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, they're tanking. I think they're going to be good in years to come, but they are putting forth a pathetic product, like ruling out load managing guys like Lou Dort, which is like unreal. You have to load manage Lou Dort.
Dude, don't even get me started with the Thunder. You know the Thunder are the only team in the NBA not allowing fans? Go ahead.
So basically what I'm saying is these teams are – you have guys going up against teams where that don't even have like 2, 3, 4 capable NBA level talents year in, year out. And then you have like the three best guys on their team sitting out.
Hold on a second, bro. Give me a second here. You know why they're not allowing fans in their stadium? Because they fucking suck, dude. Nobody wants to go to these games. You see them fucking guarding Steph Curry? I saw some dude flailing his arms. Like, Steph Curry drops 49 in 29 minutes on 11 threes out of 20. Like, guard this fucking dude. What? Let somebody else go out there and play then if you're just going to go out there and look like that. The Thunder are fucking killing me, dude. Like, I get them being the best farm system, most picks. This is fucking atrocious. I'm never trying to tell somebody right now I'm a fan of the Thunder with them throwing that product on the court. It's just ridiculous.
They're gonna be good, and they could be good next season if they end up the draft breaks right for them. It'll be interesting.
But oh, it's also, man.
I'm glad the Knicks are doing well, but when we were potting like a month and a half ago, I was talking about how the Knicks are going to have like two picks better than the 15th pick between their pick and the Mavericks pick, because both of them like didn't have the best records. Now the picks, both of those picks are projected like 24 and 22. So the Knicks aren't going to have two great picks, but I'll take the Knicks being good any day. I just wish the Mavericks stayed shitty so the Knicks got their good pick.
I do got a couple more gripey things to get into here. Then we'll get into your All-NBA and I'll let you go.
For sure.
Let's see. How do I want to do this? I do want to ask you a couple more things. I guess I'll ask you this quick before the bell. I saw this past week too. Is it harder to win a title in the NFL or NBA? Just any thoughts on that real quick? I feel like we've talked about this a little bit before on the podcast as well, but I just want to know what's good right now.
I would say NFL, because you have less control over the game, no matter who you are. Even if you're a quarterback, there's a whole side of the game you can't touch. So it's easier. Not that it's easy for LeBron James to win a title, but it's easier for LeBron James to will his team to a title than it is for like a Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady type guy, because there's still a whole other side of the ball that has to hold up their end of the bargain. Like, obviously Tom Brady's had some good defenses, which have been great for him.
Yeah.
But the average football player, yeah, I think it's harder to win a championship because there's only half the game you could even play.
I just push back on it with this. Like, I think it's harder to win the NBA, especially a championship, because you got to win more games. You got to beat way better teams at a higher clip. Like, you play series in the NBA, bro. Like, in football, anything happens. Like, my Giants get on a hot run, they could be a sixth seed and win a Super Bowl. Like, you don't see that happening in the NBA. I think I saw a stat in the past 25 years, nothing lower than a sixth seed has ever won an NBA championship. You got to be top seed in your conference and beat a lot of good teams in a series in which obviously teams are game planning throughout the series to win a championship. I don't think people give it LeBron James enough credit for going to 9-10 straight finals, he did.
It's incredible. I wasn't trying to diminish that.
It's a good argument. Go ahead.
No, the only thing I would say is I agree with that the more games in the longer series can make it a little bit harder in the sense that, like, you're not just going to get lucky and win one. But the flip side is in football, every game matters a lot more. You can't just be like, fuck this week two game. Like, this doesn't matter. Like, nah, that could be a huge game. Where in basketball, one game is kind of like,
Yeah, true. But I'm also talking strictly playoffs. Like, even in NBA playoffs, like, you can be up 3-1 and be like, let's just, you know, maybe take it a little light. We saw the fucking Clippers do this plenty of times. Like, that doesn't happen in the NFL. Because, like you said, if you come out and you're not playing well like the Steelers, you're down 24-0 in 5 minutes, you ain't winning that game. Like, you got no shot in winning that game. It's a one-time deal. And I do think that stuff happens in the NFL, and it's like, damn, you're the Steelers. You got no shot. When if that didn't happen the first 5 minutes, that would have been a closer game. Browns might not even win a playoff game. So it is different for me. I think it's much harder in the NBA, no doubt. We could save that for another time because I did have this for you as well. You can't have everybody in your top five, Rich. I saw Ja Morant thinks he's a top five player at point guard in the NBA. And you know I'm a big Ja guy. But to put him in the top five at point guard right now, that's tough to do. But I'd also argue this. Can he very well be a top five point guard in this league at some point? Maybe. Absolutely. Right now, I think there might be a very valid argument. Maybe he's fifth. Maybe he's sixth, seventh. But to be a top five for sure right now in this league at point guard, that's a little much, right?
Yeah, he's definitely not top five. But at the same time, I think it would be weirder if, because he got asked the question. He didn't just go out and say, I think it would be weirder if he was like, nah, definitely not. Like, these six, seven guys are better than me. So, like,
true.
If I was a Grizzlies fan, like, that's the answer I would want him to give. But, like, nah, we could easily go, like, Chris Paul is better right now. Russ Westbrook's better right now. Steph Curry's better right now. James Harden's a point guard. James Harden's better right now. I'm missing people. Like, there's easily five. Yeah. Luka, there's five better guys than him. But I am fine with him saying yes.
All right, we'll get in this all NBA after I ask you these last two things. We talked plenty of rookie awards. We've talked plenty of NBA MVP awards. And we got a little bit of side bet going on right now. You got Jokic. I got the field. Love it. You probably might be able to take me down in that bet. But I'd argue this, Rich. I saw this that actually gets me livid about this whole conversation. And let me just say something. The Bucks, they're 5-1 against the Sixers and Nets this season, which is the best in the East, best in the entire league when it comes to that. Won all the last five matchup against those teams, and I think a lot of people think they're contenders in the East, including yourself, potentially. I believe you said you got them potentially representing the East. Giannis is averaging more assists per game, steals per game, blocks per game, better field goal percentage, better three-point percentage, better free throw percentage, and fewer turnovers than his MVP season last year. You knew that I was on the LeBron should have won MVP last year. And here's my thing. If we didn't give that MVP to Giannis last season, Giannis would be the MVP of the league this year. You want to know why? We can't give it to him 3 years in a row now because we gave it to him last year. And it's this whole thing with the NBA MVP for me. Like, is Jokic really the MVP of the league? I get he's doing incredible stuff. But I'd argue it's CP3. I'd argue it's Giannis above Jokic right now. And the reason I would argue that stuff is because I think he's doing better than his MVP season last year. Just last year. So how is he not an MVP if you gave it to him last year? Oh, wait. The Bucks have a worse record than last year. So is that why he can't get it? Because they had a great record. Okay, if this is about record, I think if the Suns get the best record in the West, after not being in the playoffs for 10 seasons, I think CP3 has a very valid case for MVP. And you give me the whole Devin Booker thing. Well, here's my thing. MVPs have had a second fiddle since I can remember. The only guy that I can think of without a second fiddle is 2017 Russell Westbrook. Like, everybody has a second fiddle, even Jokic did until Jamal Murray went down. So I think it's crazy to just be like, oh man, Jokic is clear MVP strictly based on numbers. I think them slotted right at the four slot gives him a very valid case, even with Jamal going down, to be the MVP of this league. But I would sit here and argue, Giannis has better numbers than last year. Chris Paul bringing, there's other guys in this league. And I know a lot of guys went down and Jokic played a lot of games. So I get that, but CP3 has played just about as much. You go and look at Giannis. I know he had a little bit of a stretch where he was out for a week or so, but he's played most of the games this year with better numbers, just a worse record, but a better record than the Nuggets, right? Just curious on what you think here. Just locked up with Jokic.
The problem is it's a new person every week, and I'm not even saying with you. It's like the media, it's with everything. It's like, oh, it's the whole year. It's been LeBron, Embiid, and then Jokic. Unfortunately, LeBron went down. Unfortunately, Embiid went down. And then it's been Jokic pretty clearly. And then every 2 weeks, it's someone new. Like, wait, is Embiid going to get it? No, he's down. Oh, is it actually going to be Durant? No, he's down. Is it actually going to be Harden? No, he went down. Wait, is it actually going to be Giannis? Oh, we're not going to give it a one. Is it going to be Steph Curry? They're not good enough. It just keeps coming. And the one consistent is Jokic just keeps going on runs. Even when Jamal Murray goes down, they go 9-1 the first 10 games he's out. Jokic almost averaging a triple-double. He's one of the most efficient players in the whole league. Like, there's no way I can't give it to Jokic. And I think Giannis should probably deserve to finish second ahead of Chris Paul just because of my same argument for him last year. Like, he plays both sides of the ball so well. And I think you could argue maybe he deserves it this year. I don't think it's fair to argue he deserves it based off anything last year, because, like, last year's numbers just don't matter in regards to this year. But you're right. He is playing even better. So I would have Giannis probably second right now, but Jokic is still the pretty clear MVP to me right now. Like, I'm certain he gets it with, like, getting 75% of the vote. I don't think it's going to be all that close, to be honest with you.
All right, well, let's get into, before you got to go, all NBA. I don't know. How many do they do it? Three tiers? They do three-tier all NBA?
Yeah.
I got a funny post in here that I got to just read off. I might have already deleted it. I hope not. Oh, yeah, here it is. Let me read this off to you real quick, though. First team, Bron, Harden, KD, AD, Embiid. Second team, Murray, CJ, Spider, Hayward, Cat. Just listen to this. This is a no. I got a joke for you. First team, okay. Bron, Harden, KD, AD, Embiid. Second team, Murray, CJ, Spider, Hayward, Cat. Third team, LaMelo, D'Lo, Wall, Dinwiddie, Wood. That's not a list of good players, Rich. That's a list of players who have or will have missed significant time due to injury. Zion, you can add into there. I'm missing a couple others now, too. It's crazy the amount of... You can make a three-tiered All-NBA team based on injured guys that probably could have won. Zach LaVine, Jaylen Brown, who we talked about a bunch of times. For All-Star, his All-Star bid and everything with that. It's crazy the amount of guys that have missed time and went down. Obviously, you can, I think, make three All-NBA teams based on those guys. I think it makes it tough for this then, Rich. Because, I mean, without a doubt, and for me, like, you're telling me, oh, well, the Wizards, they struggled in the beginning. Russ was kind of hurt. Thomas Bryant went down. They had COVID issues. They missed a lot of games because of that and trying to get things right there. Like, I'd argue Russ's first team All-NBA with what he's been able to do to be able to get them back. Hold on, get them back. Listen, Zach LaVine missed mad time with health and safety protocols, and they're lower than the Wizards. Celtics. Jaylen Brown.
Before we do this.
Hold on, Jaylen Brown missed a ton of time. Go ahead.
I'll give you mine because I think you might be overlooking a few things.
All right, go ahead. Back to mine. Yeah, go ahead.
First team, and I think this is a lock of four of these guys minus one person.
Yep.
The one who is not a lock is Julius Randle. I have at my forward spot on the first team. I think any other year he's not getting it, but with all the guys that missed time, KD, LeBron, that would normally be there, I think he could get it. The one caveat is I sent this to you in our text. The voting this year, and I heard this from Zach Lowe, who's one of the voters, they're allowing guys to be like center forward. So, like, I guarantee you Embiid and Jokic are both going to get first team All-NBA. I think that's fucking stupid because they're both centers and that's not how it's ever worked really. But so I'm not going to do it that way, but I bet they both end up on it. My first team is Steph, Luka, Giannis, Jokic, Randle. I think Randle's up for question, but Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Steph, I'm certain are on the first team. Steph and Luka are like high up MVP candidates. Their teams have better records than Russ's. They've been doing this the entire year. Are way more efficient players on the offensive ends. I love Russ. I have him in my All-NBA, but I think up until like 2 weeks ago, he was not even on an All-NBA team. I think that counts for something, and it's not a knock on him. It was just guys like guard is one of the most packed positions, so I'll keep going through it. Second team, CP3, Lillard, and I feel pretty confident about that as my second team guards. Again, both of them in the MVP race all year, both teams with much better records.
Yep.
I get how you can argue, Russ. I just felt very confident. Steph, Luka, CP3, Lillard above them in the All-NBA, and the rest of my second team. Embiid, very confident in there. Paul George and Jason Tatum, I had. Jason Tatum's been incredible all year. I don't feel like I have to argue too much for that. I don't have Bron on my All-NBA team, so he's played less than 50 games, so I'm not going to put him there. He might end up there, but not for me. Paul George has played more games than Kawhi. The Clippers have been incredible. Paul George actually had a really good season. It might fall apart in the playoffs again, but regular season award. So CP3, Lillard, Paul George, Tatum, and Embiid. And then my third, literally a week ago, I don't think I would have had Russ here. I think I probably would have had Donovan Mitchell or Bradley Beal, but I can't not put Russ there, and especially with Donovan Mitchell missing like the last 2 weeks now. I got Russ, Booker, Rudy Gobert. I feel very confident in those three. And then the two forward spots, I think you could argue this a lot. I have Butler and Kawhi, Jimmy Butler and Kawhi. I really wanted to put Zion there, and I think there's a real case that Zion deserves to be there. I also really wanted to have Donovan Mitchell in there, but also wanted to have Bam in there, but I couldn't leave Gobert out. So my three guys I left out that I really wanted there were Donovan Mitchell, Bam, and Zion.
No James Harden, no Kevin Durant, no LeBron James, no Kyrie Irving.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. If James Harden played all this year, he was on the first team. He was going 100% first team. But I playing under 50 games. There should literally be a requirement the NBA puts out. Baseball has it. I believe it's you have to have. Chewy would know, but I think it's 3.1 at bats per game in order to be considered for any of the awards. And the NBA doesn't have that, so it makes it really hard. It's your own discretion, but I wish they had that you have to play X percentage in the amount of games to be eligible for stuff, because it makes it hard. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron James is on the third team, but I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to put him over even Zion, who I didn't have in my top three teams that I was really considering, who averaged 27-7 this year and really only missed the last week and played every other game this season. So it's tough counting in injuries, because obviously 48 games of LeBron James is extremely valuable, and I can't blame you if you classified that as third team All-NBA. But to me, when other guys are playing all of them, not going to happen.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's interesting for me. You know, even a James Harden hater like me, they're 27-7 with him since the trade, 9-10 without him.
Who are you taking out of that, though? Taking Russ out for Harden.
No, there's no way I'm taking Russ out for Harden. And that's the thing. So this is where I kind of get mixed up with the All-NBA, because I forget you have to do it for both conferences. And that's where it gets
No, you don't. It's not both conferences. It's two guards on the first team, two guards on the second team.
That's what I'm saying. But there's not an East and a West. It's just just one.
Yeah.
So that's where I think it hurts Russ, obviously. But at the same time, bro, like – Russ, the only reason the Wizards are at where they're at right now is because of Russ's turnaround over the last month. And I've heard you tell me multiple times on my podcast, it's about what you do at the end of the season as well. As much as the beginning, it gets counted a lot more because of where you get put at and where things kind of shake out. You got to give some of these guys credit for where they're at. Steph Curry's hard to argue, man. Steph Curry's hard to argue not being in their first team with what they're doing, obviously. If you don't have him, they're fucking below the Rockets. So I think Steph Curry has to be in first team. They're going to be in the play-in because of him. They have a chance at the playoffs because of him. That's first team talent. That's similar to the argument for my guy with Russ. So if I were going to do that, one in the West and one in the East, I got my guy Russ, bro. And
no, but it doesn't have one in the West, one in the East.
No, I know, but that's where it's like shitty, because then I'm leaving out Luka and Lillard and guys that are probably ahead of Russ. But I think you should have one of each. I think it should be NBA East or West. You know what I'm saying? Because in my opinion, dude, it's West all day. These guys in the West.
But that means you're saying like Luka shouldn't get in ahead of Russ just because of the conference he plays in. That's what these awards don't take into consideration. That's what makes him better. Like, who are the best five? So like, I can't argue that Russ has been better than Steph or Luka. Like, I can't do that. If you want to argue I can't argue he's been better than Lillard all year either. If you want to do the Chris Paul one, it's tough. I don't know if you can, because you're arguing Chris Paul for MVP.
Yeah, but here's my – that's why it's kind of like – the all NBA shit is weird to me, bro, because like, let's see this. Cause I wanted to tell you this too. And I got this for a funny meme. If I ever get the post out today, remember when we went back in the beginning of the year, we're ranking players. You know what? Russell Westbrook was ranked 36th. You know what? I had a fucking problem with that. Are you trying to tell me right now that Russell Westbrook, if we rank the NBA players right now, is 36th in the league? Are you fucking kidding me?
I have mine right here from May.
36th.
Wait. Oh, no. I don't have the date on it because it updates to today because I'm updating the same notes tab. But from whenever this was, it's my first list of notes when I started keeping them. I had Russell Westbrook 11th. And I still think that's pretty fair. I had him ahead of... Okay, I'd probably have him maybe a little lower. I was real high on him here. I had him ahead of Paul George, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler. I had him right behind Jokic, Luka, Lillard.
Here's my thing. If we went right now and ranked top 20 players in the NBA right now, you're telling me Russ isn't top 10 right now? Like right now, what? Like that's what I'm saying, bro.
Oh, okay,
it's like
okay, yeah, but to be fair,
it's a constant changing thing. So I think it's. I think that's all the crazy thing when I'm seeing, oh, where's Russ ranked all time as a point guard with Kendrick Perkins and Scott Brooks saying shit. It's like, you're only saying that because he's doing shit crazy right now. But I'd also argue, and I've been saying this, this dude is an all-time top 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, point guard in this game. But, like, people are just going crazy with it now because he's breaking Oscar Robinson's record. But that's the thing. He's been doing this, bro.
Those things are dumb because you can't do them until the career's over. Otherwise, you're overreacting to things that happen. Like, we're doing this on a Tuesday at game 60 in the regular season. Like, the reasons you're calling him top, not you, but, like, the media, whoever's talking about it is arguing for him, like, won't matter when it's all said and done. No one's going to care. Even though this has been incredible,
Rich,
no one's going
to
be like,
Rich,
oh, but in March
listen to me, Rich. Rich, listen to me. I've been so consistent on a lot of my takes, and if it's one of them, it's been this Russell Westbrook one, bro. I've been saying this before this season even happened, bro. Back when he made the trade, and I'm like, oh, they'll make the playoffs. Just watch out, bro. Russ is the real deal. Everyone's like, oh man, I don't know if he'll be able to keep up with the triple double rate. For the last 5 seasons, averaging a triple double in this league.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is that guy that no one talks about just because he doesn't have a championship. Let's just be real. Like, let's literally just be real.
Okay, I want to steer this back, though, and get your opinion. Like, when you're... Because all NBA team is just saying, like, let's focus on the guards. Who are the best guards? Are you actually saying this season, or can you actually say... And, like, again, it's your opinion. If you say it, you say it.
Yep.
He has a better overall season this year than Steph, Luka, Chris Paul, or Lillard.
Not Steph. I would not put him above Steph. But I think Luka, valid argument. A guy that I had for MVP. And listen here, I get it. Fastest player to 5,000 points. A lot of incredible stuff. We had a lot of back and forths about him hitting dude in the nuts, sexting, and him fucking all the technicals, acting like a little bitch. I get he apologized for it. But here's the thing. He started the season extremely rough. And if you're going to say that about the Wizards, Mavs are in the same spot. I get it. Mavs, great turnaround. I get it. Luka been playing all year. But... to me, similar situation with what happened with the Wizards. I think there's a very valid case to say, oh, Mavs got COVID, injuries, started off slow. Wizards got COVID, injuries, started out slow. Where are they at now? Both potentially in the playoffs. So, like, to me, it's the Mavs are only there because of Luka. The Wizards are only there because of Russ. Where are you going to rank what they're doing right now? I get it. Luka's incredible. Dude, Russ is on another level, bro. Russ is on another level. The Wizards would not be there. They were 17-32 on April 5th, Rich. 17-32 on April 5th. That's dead in the water. 12 seed. Like, without the play-in, Russ might not even be playing right now, bro. Like, Russ, like, that's what you don't get, I think. This whole play-in opened it up where, like, kept teams keep playing. If you're eliminated from playoff contention, like, you got to be sorry as fuck, because right now it's about 4 teams and they're literally under 20 wins on the season, bro. Like,
but
that's okay, where the Wizards were for a second. They're now literally almost 500, 2 games under 500 or something. That is incredible. That's an incredible turnaround. Did Luka do anything like that this year? He got them back up in the playoffs. They were down to like a 9 or 10 seed. Where are they at? 5 or 6 right now?
Yeah, he did the exact same thing. That's kind of what you were just saying.
But yeah.
I don't even think that matters too much. Like, what I would focus on is they were both playing for their teams when they had those down spells. So, like, those count just as much as what they're doing now. The comebacks are incredible. Like we said, like, there is a little bit of voter like recency bias, and like that will pan out very well for Russ because he's had an incredible end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, but what at the beginning of the season absolutely matters too. And in any other year right now, the Wizards would be a game and a half back. They're the 10 seed from even making.
That's
the
fine,
playoffs.
But I just want to say this. So like, I just want to say this.
It's tough part.
I get it. I I understand. If you don't have the play-in right now, they're not even technically in the playoffs, so it's tough to even argue this. But we do have the play-in. And as much as people are going to knock that and be like, oh, shit, and teams are like, oh, man, we don't want it. The NBA's got it set up. And in my opinion, it's 10 deep. So if you make it to that spot, you're a playoff team. You are
no,
in the
no,
play-in.
No, no, no. Yeah, you made the play-in. The playoffs don't start till 2 weeks
later. Yeah, a week later. But I'm just saying, you have an opportunity to make the playoffs set up by the NBA, whether you're calling it play-in or not. In my opinion, you have a chance to make the playoffs if you're in that top echelon of 10 teams.
Like
if you're below that.
Team in baseball.
Yeah, but you still have a fucking chance. Whatever, dude. You're fucking missing the point. You still have a chance to make the playoffs. Wizards are coming out of the play-in. Wizards are coming out of the play-in. Don't even fuck around.
I hope
so. I ordered a Russ 4 jersey, by the way, too.
Nice.
Shit's going to be so
really
flame.
I hope they do.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, their chances, I like their chances in beating the Pacers, which is, I mean, they could end up facing the Hornets, but they'll probably have to play the Pacers. And then they'd have to play the winners of the Hornets and Celtics if that was the case. And Celtics lost Jaylen Brown for the season. I mean, like, I don't see anything where I'm like, oh,
Rich,
no, they're not going to win.
Rich,
that.
Going back to, like, a week and a half ago, Russ could have literally recorded 0 points, 0 rebounds, and 0 assists in every game for the rest of the way out and still average a triple-double. That doesn't matter? Like, that, like he's
it
got that.
Matters.
The stats that he had.
I
like,
have him. I have him third-team All-NBA, which is basically saying he's been the fifth or sixth best guard in the league all year, which is huge, considering a few weeks ago, he would not have been ahead of Donovan Mitchell, some of these other guys, maybe Jaylen Brown, Bradley Beal even, some of these other guys. But I personally cannot say he's ahead of guys who have been in the MVP race and being consistent all year, like Lillard, Chris Paul, Luka, and Steph Curry. You honestly make a good argument for him over Luka. But I'm telling you right now, the 8-game difference between them in the standings – and Luka being avoiding the play-in and Russ being the last team in the play-in, it's going to make a difference to the voters. Like, you make a fair case that when they went through similar stuff, Russ has the stats.
Yep.
It's been incredible. But I would still have Luka ahead of him.
That's
but
fine.
You make a fair argument.
Just real quick before you go, shout-out to your boy Melo. Moves up to 10th all-time in the scoring list this past week. Just to throw this in as well, because we've been talking about it with Russ, out of those 9 other players, he's the only one without a ring or an MVP. It's kind of a shame because Melo, I saw his quote on it too. Basically saying, you know, I was out of the league, which is crazy to me. Like, he was not in the league and now he's back in the league, persevered, stayed strong. And now he's 10th all time in scoring. He's another dude. And I, you know how I am about Melo, man. I'm kind of hard on Melo, but he's another dude that I feel like is not appreciated. Like, you're top 10 in scoring and nobody really talks about this dude. Because he don't have a ring or an MVP. Like,
yeah.
To me, that's a little harsh. And it kind of goes to my whole thing with Russ, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think he, or at least I hope, he'll be remembered more fondly when he retires than he is right now. It's just one of those things where, like, everyone has to have a take to everything. And now he's, like, not the player he was. So a lot of people that are younger didn't see him. A lot of people forgetting how good he was.
Dude, like, the list that he's on right now, top 10, because he's 10th, is ridiculous, dude. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Kobe, MJ, Dirk, Wilt, Shaq, Moses Malone. Dude, that's a ridiculous list to be on. Top 10 in scoring in NBA history.
He's been out the last 2 games, which really sucks because he is only – it'd be tough to catch Moses Malone this season now, but Moses Malone is the 9 spots and Melo is, what, like 60 points behind him right now? So
yeah.
He'd have to get like 20 a game in the next few games. Not going to happen, but I guess the playoffs could happen by the postseason, and that's also doing it in about 150 less games than Moses Malone did, who's an all-time great.
True.
Too bad he was out of the league last year, but – is what it is, or not? Yeah, for most of last year.
True.
I also did
stay mellow. Stay mellow.
Yep. I'll throw them out to you real quick because I did them while I was doing the All NBA teams. You can respond if you want to, but these are harder. I did my two all defensive teams because I only do 2 of those. first team. I was a little more lenient with this because this is harder. I'd put Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons as the two guards. Then I'd Giannis, Rudy Gobert, and I actually had Draymond. I looked up the NBA defensive stats. The Warriors are fifth in defensive rating all year, and Draymond Green's a huge part of that. Wiseman was terrible on defense.
Yep.
So I hope Draymond makes a first or second team all defense.
I think he will.
Second team have Drew Holiday, Marcus Smart, who was like kind of on the fringe of things because he missed a bunch of games this year. Then I had Mikal Bridges. I cheated a little because I wanted to get him on there, and I put Bam at forward, but they will classify him at forward, so they might do that too. I put Bam, and then I put Joel Embiid as the center.
Fair. I don't have a problem with any of those. Really good points with Draymond. Mikal Bridges is a sleeper. Bam definitely on there for me. Did you have Jimmy Butler in there? Because Jimmy Butler's a dog.
I had as a guard on my first team, which was like kind of cheating a little, but like the guards are tougher. I didn't want to put... I think he's been better than Drew Holiday or Marcus Smart this year, but I didn't have another guard I wanted to put there.
So I know Gobert has got this, and we've gotten to this a few times, the anchor of the defense. I mean, he's an incredible defensive player, but you think Ben Simmons has any shot for defensive player of the year? It's Gobert. You got Gobert automatic, Jokic automatic.
I think Gobert's going to get it, but I don't think it's like – I don't look at it the same way I look at like the Jokic MVP thing. Like I think Jokic like has the MVP in the bag right now. Defensive player of the year, like – I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. How'd they vote for Ben Simmons? Like Ben Simmons literally guards 1 through 5. It's a fair argument. Just, I mean, again, I got the defensive ratings up right here. The Jazz are fourth in net rating for defense. The Sixers are second, but the difference in the Sixers is they have Embiid, Thibault, and Ben Simmons. And Thibault, from a lot of the stuff I listen to, is on a lot of people's defensive player of the year. Like the Sixers have a great defensive team. Rudy Gobert just anchors that entire Jazz's defense, which I wanted to do it. I wouldn't be that biased. I literally wanted to put Nerlens Noel on here. If there was a third team, I would have put him at center because yeah. Nerlens Noel, I think, has been doing a lot of that for the Knicks.
I didn't respond to much to your All-NBA, but I would have Julius Randle up there for first team for sure.
I had him first team, yeah.
Yeah, I know you did. So I would agree with that because he's played all year.
I get it, though, because listening to Zach Lowe, they were saying how Embiid, certain guys they gave forward, it's almost like fantasy, certain guys they give forward center and certain guys they only give center. So, for example, they were saying Gobert is only votable as a center, but Bam, Embiid, and Jokic are all forward center. So I think when the voting comes out for first team, Embiid and Jokic will both be on the first team and Julius will get booted. But I think that's kind of bullshit. Like, I don't know. Embiid is 100% a better player than Julius Randle, but is 72 games of Julius Randle more valuable than 54 games of Embiid? I don't know. I'd say maybe it is. Like, if the Knicks... Let me put it this way real quick. If the Knicks... If you swap those two players and you give the Knicks Joel Embiid instead of Julius Randle, but Embiid still misses 25 games, the Knicks are in a worse spot because they would fall apart without that guy on the floor. So yeah. I kind of think Julius Randle's playing is more valuable.
Yeah, I agree. I think as much as I'm going to knock the whole amount of games played for the MVP, I do think it matters how many games you're able to play, not only for your team in the regular season, but also for the awards. And it definitely makes Jokic not have a very valid argument literally playing every single game and do what he's doing. But definitely provides some debates for us, so I think it's legit. We've had a lot of good ones about it, so I'm glad we got to at least link up a little bit today.
For sure.
I'll let you go. I got to do some other bullshit and try and post this up before I head out, so I'll catch up with you soon, hopefully.
For sure. Try and get on the 6 tonight.
Yeah, I'll be around later.
All right, peace, man.
All right, peace, brother.
Good talking.
Yes, sir. Just want to play my guy Russ before I get out of here.
Of his career is 35th, by the way, of this season. 17.
So 181, 180. So you'll get that.
You figure, but it could be even tonight against Atlanta. Here's Westbrook, by the way, talking about the Big O.
To be in a conversation with Oscar, for one, I want to just thank him because he set the stage and he sacrificed a lot of things for us to be able to go out and play, and the times he played in and the things he was able to do back in the day has allowed me to be able to do the things I want to do today, and I'm just grateful for him and I'm grateful for his words, and I'm so appreciative of his support as well.
I'll tell you what.
Incredible, man. I just love this guy to death. So happy for him. Why not? He's out here breaking records, doing history, historic stuff on a nightly basis. So inspirational, and he handles himself with such class. Always has, and in my opinion, he's going to go down as not only one of the best players all time in this league, but this season, what the Wizards are doing, I think they absolutely have an opportunity to make some noise in a Eastern Conference that on the back end is definitely shaken up. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, you got a last week of the NBA season this year, or this week. You know, I had some Sports Center reads I was trying to get into today, but went a little longer than I thought with Rich, so I'm going to have to save those for next pod. I haven't been able to pod as much, so I've got a list of topics here. I got horse racing and MLB and hockey fights and Aaron Rodgers saga, and you got horses on steroids, Super League and golf. I mean, I got a bunch of stuff to catch up on. NFL draft that I haven't even really talked about. It's obviously crunch time in the NBA. Rich was able to make it through, and realistically, with only being able to do it so much, I'd rather do it with a couple of my buddies or one of my buddies than do it solo. Doing it solo is definitely a little more difficult. I enjoy doing it, but just with everything that I want to talk about, it's kind of gets all over the place. You know, I still try and keep it somewhat organized for anybody that follows along or supports my podcast, and I've kind of just been all over the place recently. You know, I saw a lot of grown-ass men on Sunday, Jalen Rose in particular, Carl Anthony Towns, just breaking down. Obviously, they lost their moms this past year, first Mother's Day, without years, without their moms. I'm on my fourth, and a lot of people say, oh, everything gets better with time. It doesn't, for me at least. I know everyone's different. You know, I've dedicated trying to do this podcast for my moms, just knowing that she would support something I enjoy doing with passion, something to do to stay positive with all the negative stuff around me, and it's just been tough to muster up that motivation recently. Even doing it solo is a lot of fun for me, and I got plenty to talk about, but it takes a lot of work, man. And I only have so much time now, being back to work and trying to do other things that I like to do. Also spend time with my dog, obviously work, and trying to take care of myself, obviously, as well. Like, I could end up taking notes and doing something, potting, and next thing you know, 2, 3, 4 hours goes by. You know, I really enjoy it. There's a lot going on to try and keep up with. I saw Rory McIlroy got back in the victory circle at the Wells Fargo this past week. His third victory there, 2010, 2015, 2021. He's just the 45th PGA Tour player to win at least 19 times on the PGA Tour. Bogey in the final hole, 3 of 14 fairways, 19 of 56 fairways on the week. Incredible that you can win a golf tournament hitting it like that. A lot of props to not only him, Jordan Spieth, who got back in the winner's circle. You don't understand how hard golf is, and to consistently win. That's why Tiger's the greatest. Connor McDavid, fastest 200 points in over 25 seasons. Took him just 53 games. He's looking to average 1.8 points per game on the season. Saw Jacob deGrom news. Obviously saw the MLB stuff going on with the balls and the no-hitters. Being the most no-hitters thrown before the end of month of May since 1917, and obviously changing the balls, and there's a lot to talk about with Chu if he ever comes back on that. Houston Yanks, first time meeting up since the debacle, and Dusty Baker and the Yanks definitely getting what they deserve. Like, it takes a few seconds to burn down a forest, and it takes a lifetime to rebuild it. That's what happens when you cheat. Bob Baffert, absolute scumbag, douchebag, cheater that is probably going to get in a lot of trouble here after the things that happened with his cancel culture horse and all this bullshit. There's so much going on, man. A lot of things going on in sports. Obviously, the NBA and then NFL, and you got the NFL schedule release for 2021 tomorrow. I mean, it's just tough keeping up with it. I'm trying my best. Obviously, I enjoy sports, love it with passion, and I'll keep trying to come in and pod as much as I can. Appreciate all love and support as always. That's all I have for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. Enjoy them sports. You're listening to Segi Station.